Welcome to Think Beyond the Drink. This podcast is for women who want to unravel their relationship with alcohol and other vices without labels, stigma, or judgment. We focus on things that give us energy, not take from it. This is for women who want to feel the aliveness and vitality of their life again, who want deep, intimate connections and a purpose-driven life. Hello, beautiful ones. Today, we are going to get right into the episode, and we're going to really just look at whether or not alcohol is truly a good reward, or if it's just a consolation prize for making it through the day. And I totally get if you use alcohol as a way to reward yourself, because I did the same thing for years, for probably a decade or two. And it is the fastest and easiest way to delineate our time from working to me time. And this can look different for every woman. If you're working from home, this can look like, all right, I'm finished. I'm closing my computer. I'm going to wrap up a few more emails and I'm going to grab a glass of wine while I do it. For women who have families, it might be that you're going to pour your glass of wine when you start, you know, boiling the water to put the pasta in, and then you pour another glass of wine when you start making the sauce, and you pour another glass of wine when you're sitting at dinner with your family, and then you pour your last glass of wine when the kids are asleep, because it helps you transition from what you were doing before to what you're doing now. And occasionally, this can help us turn off our brains at the end of the day when we no longer want to be thinking about our to-do list. And that is a reward in and of itself. Or it maybe gives us this tad bit more energy, like this little extra oomph at the end of the day to get through some of the mundane activities like making dinner or bath time or just unwinding. So I completely understand why you have been rewarding yourself with alcohol, but rewarding yourself with a drink is like getting a facial, but never putting on sunscreen when you're out in the sun. It completely negates the benefits. Okay, let me tell you the impetus to this episode. I was talking to a friend whose wife was out of town. And he was talking about how scheduling all of the kids' activities with work activities and carpooling is just so much and how difficult it was. And he was remembering a time when his wife was actually out of town for 3 weeks versus just a long weekend. And he said that he just remembered completely being in awe of any mother who didn't have support. And he was in complete awe. And he said, but of course, women can handle it. Because women have superpowers. And I gave him this little smirk, right? Like, you know, that's right. But as I drove away, I found that that statement really irritated me. It didn't land well. And it reminded me of back in 2020, when that slogan about not all superheroes wear capes. Do you guys remember that? It was usually with this image of a healthcare worker. And I was a healthcare worker, worked in a clinical setting during 2022. And I remember I absolutely hated that slogan that not all superheroes wear capes, referring to healthcare workers, because these frontline workers were not superhuman. They were actually human beings who had feelings and who were oftentimes taken away from their families to stay in hotels so they could quarantine themselves from exposing their family members, completely void of the physical connection and support that they needed from family members. And the slogan out there was that these first line responders and healthcare workers were these superhumans, when actually they were sacrificing themselves, their own needs, their own feelings. And trust me, I was one of them. And so there was a little martyrism that came along with it. But it's when we build women up and we build other people up like superhuman, like they have this capacity to hold more than other people. But what we're really saying is you shouldn't complain, or you don't complain. even if we don't have, you know, adequate support, or the healthcare workers in the earlier days didn't have adequate equipment or hazard pay, but we're basically saying, since you're superhuman, you don't need any of those things. And you, I don't know, it just really bothered when we refer to women as having this like superhuman capabilities. Just because we have the capacity to carry it all, it doesn't mean we should. And it definitely doesn't mean life is more fun and relaxing and exciting when we're carrying the weight of an army. So we have women who work in the home and work outside of the home, or primarily just work in the home, or maybe we are women who don't have families at all. We don't have children of our own, but we're caring for our adult parents or siblings who are ill. And typically what happens in those scenarios is that if you don't have children of your own, then the rest of the family assumes that you have the time to take care of your aging parents when you're also working a full-time job. And so the responsibility completely falls on the weight of women. And this started in the, like all things, right? It started in this beautiful way back in World War II, when women were working out of the home, when the men were away and the men came back and women were like, I'm not going to go back to my, to the 100% household work anymore. I want to participate. I want to have a purpose outside of the home. And then it continues, this trajectory continued. And now we're looking at this being, I don't know, what is that? Like 50, 60, 70 years ago. And now 50% of married couples both work. But primarily what we see is a woman works outside of the home, and then she also takes care of the majority of the responsibilities inside the home. And what I like to mention or to remind women and men, I talked to my husband about this too, is that even though he may have some of the responsibilities, like, you know, he makes breakfast in the morning for the kids, he packs lunch half the time, he does pickups and drop-offs occasionally, and he's a really involved parent, there is this huge portion of it, this call that I like to call like the worrying parent, right? So that we worry and schedule and plan and think about five steps ahead of what's happening currently. And that takes a lot of our time and energy. And so even though we might have these to-dos that are broken up, a woman tends to carry a lot of the planning and worrying of our families. And again, this is for women who have children and who don't have children. It's the same burden. And one easy way that we reward ourselves throughout the years is by having wine after work, or having whatever your go-to cocktail is. Because again, like I mentioned before, it delineates the day from me time. And I know that I did that for a couple of decades. And I didn't drink every night, but about four times a week, 99% of the time that I drank, it was to quote unquote reward myself. Now, don't get me wrong, So I didn't drink for 5 years, for those of you who know my story, but now I have a drink every couple of weeks, and it's always in a social situation with people that I love, and I find immense pleasure in this social connection over a cocktail. But the majority of the time, I have found other rewards that feel truer to me. And what I mean by that, rewards that I can create on my own without this external, you know, feel good juice, if you will. And an example of some of those things are a really good night's sleep. I find that getting the best night's sleep is one of the truest rewards at all. I find reward in just lounging on the couch while my family is being crazy in front of me. I find a reward in watching like a 30-minute or an hour episode of some series that I'm watching during my lunch break. I find tremendous reward in that. Like when I look at if a reward is a positive reward or not, It's whether the reward actually fills me up and doesn't deplete me. And so when I found myself drinking four times a week, and some women drink wine every night a week, I know that there had been times during the past decade that I did that as well. And what I've recognized is a reward is truly a reward if it feels rewarding. If I feel like after I do it, I feel really good about it. And what I noticed is that when I rewarded myself with alcohol is that I wouldn't feel great an hour or two later, or in the morning, I wouldn't feel refreshed and rejuvenated from having wine. I still had that list of to-dos, but now I felt like I got poor sleep, that I wasn't clear-minded, that I wasn't energized and ready to start the day. And so I want you to really ask yourself, are you rewarding yourself with alcohol? And again, totally cool if you are, but is it truly a reward? Is it making you feel revived, excited, illuminated, passionate, vibrant? And if it isn't, maybe it's time to really look at whether taking a prolonged period of time without alcohol is something that will be beneficial to you. And I'm a huge proponent of that because I really feel like when we take a long break from drinking, it really allows us the opportunity to learn new ways of being. It allows us to readjust our habits. It allows us to calibrate our habits. And it allows us to really learn what is working for us, what we've had on autopilot, and what we need to get rid of. And for some people, that may look like 100 days without drinking. Some other people, like for myself, it felt so good for so long that the 5-year mark was a really wonderful opportunity for me to really relearn who I was and what was going on in my life. But that's for you to decide. It's not for me to decide. It's not for anyone else to decide. It's truly for you to decide. And you will not be able to decide what works for you if drinking is driving the show or if you are, unless you take an extended period of time without drinking. And I also just want to remind you that when we are changing the way that we reward ourselves in the evenings, it will not feel like a reward at first. It will not feel like you just sitting on the couch watching your kids run around the living room is the same as drinking your favorite cocktail. It just doesn't hit the same. Or in more brain science terms, it doesn't release all those feel-good neurotransmitters like dopamine the same way alcohol does. It doesn't at first, but trust me, you have to trust me and you have to trust the thousands of women who've broken their drinking habit before you that you will find reward in the simple again, and being present with the loved ones in your life and having the really good belly chuckles or connecting with a friend on the phone or walking out in nature. Those things will ultimately or eventually fill you up, but you have to take a break from alcohol for you to really understand the effect of that more quickly. I mean, you can put your energy into moderating your drinking and thinking about that every other day or asking yourself whether you're going to drink or not. But when you really just eliminate it for a period of time, it just opens up so many other possibilities and so much more time and energy for you to actually think about other things besides whether you're going to drink or not. So again, you will find reward in something besides alcohol again. But really what I want to do is this all about awareness. I talk about it in my programs all the time. Awareness is the number one key step. So I just want you right now for the next couple of weeks is every time that you're reaching for your go-to cocktail, I just want you to ask yourself, am I rewarding myself for a job well done? Is there something that I can take off of my plate? Is there something that I could maybe give to my partner, or I could hire a babysitter or call in a really good friend for us to do a trade with kids? Or is there something I can take off my plate at work so I can have more time? And I think so often what we do as women is we take on all of these responsibilities and we assume that somebody else won't or can't do what we're asking them to do. We think somebody is going to say no because we're asking. And what maybe I want to encourage you to do is not ask. tell somebody that you really need support. You're not really asking if they'll help you. You're like, I need this. I need this additional support because I've taken on too much. And we as women, the only way that we're going to get out of this pattern of taking on all of these responsibilities, because we have the capacity to do them, it's our responsibility to say, even though I can do something, it doesn't mean that I want to, need to, or should. And so when we're asking our partner to help us out, saying that we expect this is different than asking for it. And we can do this in a loving, generous, open way, of course. And the other thing is that when our partners or our friends or our parents say yes to something, then we step back and we don't micromanage it. Because what so often happens, and I was guilty of this too, is that I would say, hey, I need you to make dinner tonight. And then my husband would pop in a frozen dinner in the microwave. And that's not what I meant, right? I wanted him to create this really wholesome, beautiful, bountiful, colorful meal and not, you know, some monotone colored frozen food. But here's the deal, is that that is his way of doing things. And if I'm asking for help, then it doesn't really matter what it looks like. I just have to take the back seat and let it happen. The reason why I went on this rant and spent so much time in this episode talking about how women take on all of these additional responsibilities and we have the capacity to, but it doesn't mean we should do it. And the more we can ask for help or take off responsibilities on our daily to-do list, the more we'll be able to have time to reward ourselves throughout the day. So we don't leave it until the end of the day when our capacity to make decisions has been depleted because we've made 1,000 decisions during the day or more. And the last decision we want to make is, all right, either I'm choosing wine or something that's going to be healthier for me today. It's really impossible to make those decisions in the moment. So if we can clear up our day throughout the day or even in our evenings to where we can spend time really relaxing and rejuvenating ourselves by going to bed early, going on a walk, watching a show, anything but continuing to work or ignoring that we are tired. It's the whole like pushing through the tired and, you know, doing chores or doing other activities besides actually resting. I just want to invite you to really look at what your to-do list, what you can unload, and then what you can put in its place that feels more rewarding and nourishing to your body, cells, and yourself. Hey, as always, go over to Instagram at Think Beyond the Drink and let me know what you think about the episode in the DM. And as always, the world needs us. Women and our clarity and courage. Have you ever wondered why, after a night of drinking, and you wake up the next day and you say to yourself, why am I so tired? I just got 7, 8, 9, 10 hours straight of sleep. Well, in next week's episode, we are going to look at, does alcohol really help us sleep? See you then. The world needs the vibrance and wisdom of a woman's intuition to help heal the world. When we learn to trust ourselves through leaning into and through discomfort, we learn to trust ourselves, and in that space is our power and clarity.